strength.
Review committee meeting. This meeting is being recorded. Today is October 4th, 2023. Committee members in attendance today are
Jason Slack,
Andrew Mitchell,
Jen Nash,
John Taylor,
Lisa Pruitt,
Suzanne Kimball,
Linda LeFevre,
Mackenzie Stoll,
and Jessica Moeller. We will now begin the discussion of our agenda items. So the norms are on there. We already reviewed them, so we're not going to go over those. If we're going to go over the minutes first.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, the minutes are approved as written. So the Family Haven update, Mackenzie was able to reach out to them about those pre and post tests that we discussed last time, and they responded saying that they're open to revising them. They're changing the trace steps of tests to be yes or no questions instead of true or false. So that is good. I'm not confusing them. They are hoping for a little more information about this thinking. So, and then what they said is that in their presentation, they define unsafe touch as touch that leaves pain, that lasts for a long time, and or leaves a mark on the child's body. The purpose of this thinking question is to help them identify the difference between an unsafe touch and a spanking that is okay. They're open to recommendations and are wondering if we have any suggestions on a preferred way to rephrase that question. So,
and I accept them, though.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you see that for the email I forwarded to
you? This is the last one they had forwarded.
Okay.
So I sent them.
Did they respond
how
to me?
Or respond to you?
So I sent them how to reward it,
mm-hmm.
and they said great. So they'll update their pre and post tests to match the recommendations.
It's really great that they took some input on that. And
yeah. And she's. The girl we've been working with, she's new. We get a lot of turnover mm-hmm. in this, and that, like those educational jobs, and those type of programs. And I think she's been the best one. So she came and presented in my class, and I was very impressed.
Good.
With her, so. And she's great. And then so I spoke with her also, followed up, because I saw her in person last week. And she goes, we love working with districts. We want to be in the classroom, so we'll do what we can to support you guys as you support our program. So
great.
It went well, yeah. So we should see those changes. I haven't seen it yet, but she'll give that to me when they do.
And then will we look over it again and approve it again?
I don't necessarily think we need to because we motioned that it was okay even if they didn't.
Okay.
And it was up to the schools to decide if it's good for them
mm-hmm.
and they email those tests, the pre and post tests, before they go and present.
Mm-hmm.
So when she came to my classroom, she sent me a 2-week notice and said, hey, I'll be there in 2 weeks. Here's the pre and post test. And it was, I was guessing the same email that like the other schools were getting. So
that way they don't have to cancel last minute if they don't approve that pre and post
yeah.
test.
Yeah, and they shortened all the tests. So like 4 or 5 questions now, so that's nice.
All right, well, we're gonna look over babycenter.com. So hopefully good. You all have laptops.
Are there specifics on that? Yeah, so I think let's do the two videos
okay.
from Baby Center that, so we did motion at the C-section for last time. And then these are two other specific videos from Baby Center that is suggested that they'd like to use in the classroom. And then as well as the website. So maybe let's watch the two clips
yeah.
and then we'll spend time on the website and see if there's any concerns of why students shouldn't be on this website. And if we want to motion that it's for students and teachers or teachers only as a resource.
Okay. Do you remind me what grades again we're approving for?
we would, let's say this will be secondary, so 8 and up.
Yeah. But we can but always approve it for like just high school or just
has it
junior
helped
high
too.
So we can decide.
Yeah, or just human development. A lot of the resources, just so you know, that are coming in right now is human development classes.
Which is on the junior level? Or
high school.
High school level.
Yeah. And they go more in depth than Help 2 classes. As I've been looking at their curriculum and what they've been showing and sending me.
Their core is definitely more in depth.
Then for the pavilion, I would enjoy less. You have our driver coming out. We have a girl, just a lot of women that helps relax them. The love that you just do. The work without the women fighting against.
Sometimes your body needs a little jump start to kick into labor. You can take everything off in the bathroom. Okay, put this on with the opening in the back. Today, Cheryl, 39 weeks pregnant, has arrived for her scheduled induction at Abington Memorial Hospital in Abington, Pennsylvania. There are many forms of induction, but all have the same goal, says Dr. Richard Carapalotti, Cheryl's obstetrician.
We actually induce contractions. Contractions hopefully will cause cervical dilatation as the cervix dilates, the labor progresses, and ultimately the baby is delivered vaginally.
Your doctor or midwife may choose to induce your labor for a number of reasons. You are a week or more past your due date and you show no or slow signs of cervical dilation and labor. Your water breaks, but your labor doesn't start. Or you or your baby face medical issues that pose a health threat, which is the case for Cheryl. Cheryl has an antibody in her blood that could harm her baby, so the induction is a precautionary measure to help avoid any problems. There are a number of methods available to medically induce or ripen the cervix to get your labor moving. If your labor needs to be induced, you may be treated with one or more of the following in the hospital. A Foley catheter. Your practitioner may insert a tube with a very small uninflated balloon at the tip into the opening of your cervix, demonstrated here with this curled up hand. The balloon is then inflated, which puts pressure on your cervix and amniotic sac. This stimulates the release of prostaglandins, hormones that cause the cervix to open and soften. Prostaglandins are also available as a medication in several forms, including a pill and a gel. Your caregiver will insert the medication into your vagina to help your cervix dilate. Stripping or sweeping the membrane. If your cervix is already somewhat dilated and your body just needs a little help, Your practitioner can insert her finger through the cervix and manually separate your amniotic sac from the lower part of your uterus, rupturing the membrane, more commonly known as breaking your water. This method can be quite effective in accelerating labor, but is only performed when the woman has a partially dilated or effaced cervix. Pitocin is the synthetic form of oxytocin, a natural hormone your body produces to bring on labor. Pitocin is the most popular method of induction. It's given through an IV line. Cheryl is receiving Pitocin today. Since she's only 2 centimeters dilated, her water hasn't broken, and her contractions haven't begun. Pitocin is commonly given if your cervix isn't ripe, meaning it isn't softening and thinning, or it's showing signs of slow ripening. Your labor slows down, or your water has broken but you haven't gone into labor after several hours. Pitocin isn't always a quick solution.
If mom is having some early contractions on her own, the use of Pitocin will work rather quickly. Again, if the cervix is favorable. If it's a very, very unfavorable cervix, we can use low-dose Pitocin for even 12 hours before we see any major effects.
The heart rates of both Cheryl and her baby and the frequency and length of her contractions will be continuously monitored. 2.5 hours after starting Pitocin, Cheryl is only 3 centimeters dilated, so her doctor decides it's time to break her water to speed things up. Induction is generally safe, but it does carry some risk depending on the methods used and your individual situation. It's a good idea to discuss the pros and cons with your doctor. Inductions don't always succeed in bringing on labor. When this happens, a C-section will be necessary. Now, 7 hours into her induction, it's taking Cheryl longer than she hoped to advance to active labor. She decided not to get an epidural and is instead getting medication in her IV line to take the edge off the pain.
Slow
exhale.
Okay.
11 hours after first receiving Pitocin, Cheryl is finally delivering her baby. Cheryl delivered a healthy 7-pound, 9-ounce girl. Cheryl says the pain she experienced during labor with Pitocin was intense, but no different than her previous natural birth. She's glad the induction worked. The best part of it was the result, finally meeting her daughter, Madeline Grace.
Concerns with that video?
I think it's fine. For that level of class, probably.
I don't know about health, too.
Yeah. It seems like now with all the like animated videos that really show that kind of basic information, that it meets requirements of what they're learning in their core. That's what I, as a teacher, that's what I've moved to.
In the health class?
In the health class. In health too, instead of like showing the live birth. That's just my own personal for 15-year-old, but in child development, you can still have sophomore age. It's not just like senior. Usually it tends to be older kids, but that's not always the circumstances.
But it's not required either. And so that's an elective class that people are interested in, so therefore they're opting into it. So I think that's a different feeling as well.
Yeah.
Because they're opting in.
Yeah. And in health too, they're in ninth grade a lot, or in ninth grade as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
right.
But
can they still opt out or opt in?
You have to opt in. You're opted out no matter what, but you have to have a signature to be in class.
And they can say, like, yet except four, so they can pick and choose what topics they want their child to learn. And they can meet with a teacher also, that's an option. So there's four options, opt-in, everything but meet with a teacher before to review materials and also.
So if they opt in with everything but, do they know what's entailed? Like, would they know that this video is going to be there, or do they should know what they're talking about?
They just know there's it's pregnancies, fetal development. Mm-hmm.
So they could opt out of, pregnancies or
very rare
contraception or something like that.
Yeah, contraception is the one that's most common. They opt out, and then STDs is the next, but pregnancies.
Rarely,
I mean,
right?
When you're taking child development.
Yeah, that's.
Well, they opt into it when they register.
Yeah, they can.
Because the class description mention that we will see. Do you know what I mean? I mean that might be.
I haven't read every teacher's disclosure document to know what's in there.
That would be my only concern.
My guess
just wanted
is
to make sure that was.
Like, I know in health classes we share that, like what's going to be covered. Like every teacher does that, so that's just assuming. I don't know.
That's a good question, though, Mackenzie. Something just to follow up to see on our child development teachers if they are, if they're just when they're advertising that they're being forthright in what kind of curriculum they're going to be showing, so that you hate for a student to get into a class and then go, oh no, I'm not comfortable with that one or that, and then they end up getting out of. Participating in a bunch of it. I don't think that happens very often, but it might be wise just in their, in their disclosure document, just to make sure that they have it in there.
Yeah. And you are saying, we are teaching all these things, and your parents have to see that form, and they have to sign
it.
And you click, check all
you
the
go
boxes.
Through it.
So as long as your parent looks at the information,
you
then they
be
know, like, oh, my child's getting this.
At the beginning of the year, so if you say,
yes,
okay, good, I don't
like,
want to
oh,
do it.
They're watching a pregnancy video where nudity is shown.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
right.
What, like, I'm thinking, if I have my 16-year-old in this class, and I have 1 million kids in school and all the disclosure documents that I'm trying to check in through, I don't know if, like, I signed to be like, okay, yes, I'm okay with a live birth. I don't know that as a parent I'd be like, oh, it's going to be a video of the whole hoo-ha in my child's face of a live birth. Like, I think I would think, oh, it'll be like an animated birth, or we'll talk through the process of, I don't know, that's like, I mean, I'm a woman, I've had a lot of babies, but that's a very...
Well, that's why we have parents here, because your children are the ones seeing these.
Could be the one seeing these. I just don't think I would read through, like, the disclosure and be like, that is not what I would have in mind as being taught in my kid's class.
Does it make a difference if it's health or child development?
No.
Because I would probably be okay with child development, but health and something.
I mean, health for sure, I don't know, because it's just like a general class.
I would say the videos are okay, just we should make sure that whoever's writing the disclosure document is a little bit more descriptive.
Yeah, informative. Right, like just this is a child development and this is a live birth. Like, we will be watching a video.
Well, and can you leave that in to the parent? You know, if you want to see it, here it is. You watch it and see if you're, I mean, can you do that?
Yeah, but the description comes with
but then QR code it, you know what I mean?
What comes the first of the semester and way, I mean, you approve things the first of the semester, and then 18 weeks in, you go, oh, well, I didn't know that I approved that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't think they include everything that's...
Yeah, I mean, that first week of school, you're right. The kids come home with, and you're just like,
you're
oh, my gosh.
But how many teachers, I don't send mine with a disclosure document. I do it a few weeks
before. It's separate. Right, and that's what I was just going to say. I think that most times on these...
Like, if we're going to watch it just a couple weeks before it goes home with the kids.
It has to be home 2 weeks before instruction.
Okay.
The teacher and then a description.
Yeah.
We're watching a live birth.
Yes.
Well, maybe we do a cover. We used to have a cover letter for, like...
The only thing is it's hard to get those forms back in a two-week time. Because it's an opt-in. If not, then you have... You're making phone calls. You're doing loads of emails. Trying, so I've done that 2 weeks before.
If only we had a new email system that we could rely on.
I know. What do you think?
Targeted.
Should we think that?
At the beginning of the school year, that's the most successful because parents are signing papers and you get more back. We've had this discussion with health teachers.
I think it maybe is getting the signature at the very beginning, but then giving another. And I mean, you can't make people read stuff. That just never happens.
Right.
But you've signed it once. You signed it at the beginning. But now I'm giving you a heads up. In 2 weeks, we're gonna get pretty detailed. So just giving you.
And they opted into the class.
And they opted into the class to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it's like just giving you another heads up. This is what's happening. If you have any concerns about the material that we're going to show. Some of it is live video with live people with live body parts. Then, you know, reach out, you know. So I think just giving teachers like just a little clue in on that just saves you from a parent going, whoa, what wasn't expecting
or
that.
Or they can follow up too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like when I get notes home from my kids, like, hey, we talked about sexual abuse to, you know, or we're going
right.
to be, so then I can follow up as a parent
with
my child. Well, I should let you know, so based on our approved list over the last couple of decades, like Miracle Life, Into the Womb, those are all on our approved
They're
list
already there.
For all classes, mm-hmm. and those are live births.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't forgot it since. 20 years ago.
It sears in your head, doesn't it?
No, but I, as a teacher, I've made that choice of I'm going to do more on the animated side. I mean, we have human beings things, but because I think the experience as a teenage brain versus more of an adult brain when you're in college is different, and when you're watching a loved one's birth, or you're a doctor and watch, you know, it's a different experience than, that's just my own
truth.
Teachers, so
by and large, I think health teachers, tell me if I'm wrong, but health teachers and you know, development teachers are very conscientious of these topics and are very proactive in making sure that their parents and students know. They just are not like willy-nilly. Okay, hey, just,
well,
I thought we'd do live birth today. You guys good? You know, I mean, they're pretty careful about it.
Well, and they've already developed a classroom setting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at the child development standards, this unit, like, when they talk about all, it is a lot, there's lots they cover. I mean, so when you see this, like, this is what they're teaching. Mm-hmm. Now, this is part of the core, and
it goes very deep compared to health.
It's very deep,
this
and
it's
what they're supposed to be teaching.
Right.
Like, they're learning for their upcoming professions and things that they're wanting to do. So,
one thing that I like about both of these videos, as opposed to the first one we watched last time, is that they didn't feel like they had an agenda. It's just like,
yeah.
This is straight up. This
that's
is an
it.
Epidural.
This is
an induction.
That's
what
an
it
induction is.
Mm-hmm.
And these are your options of induction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A few different methods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they could have done one that came out of the yard. If you're weak and spineless, then maybe you should get an epidural if you can.
They could have.
But it wasn't. It was just, you know,
it was just straight up.
If you do this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And if I'm reading right, I think the concern is the nudity, not the information or her being, you know, on the bed and stuff. Is that, am I reading that right?
Well, I'm not, for me, not even that. It's just making sure parents are aware. And so, and it sounds like that they are. And
I think so.
And if I did sign a disclosure document and I knew this was the class my child was in, I would still love, like, my sixth grader had a read-a-thon in middle school and I got a little heads up, hey, this is what we're doing in class.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, probably most parents don't read it, but I do read it, and I'm like, oh, that's great. I talked about, how was the read-a-thon, Kel? What'd you read? Same thing, like, hey, Caitlin, how was the live birth video? What did you think?
Yeah.
So would you approve for a live birth video? Is when, like, if you saw, like, hey, we're going to watch this video, would you have let your child be in the classroom?
Yes, but I would love the heads up of that. That I knew that this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can go get a Coke and say, hey, what did you think about that?
Yeah.
For fettuccine.
Are you having a baby?
Yeah.
Right.
That looked like it hurt.
Yeah, let's line up all four of my daughters to watch that. Best teen pregnancy.
Okay, so how are we feeling? Or do you want it for childhood development or health two, health one? What are we?
What was it submitted as requested?
It came from a human development teacher.
What's human
development? Not human development, sorry, child development.
Okay.
So it came from, this, yeah, a lot of this stuff right now has been from child development. And I can make note of that when I put on like approved vetted list, like human development only. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah. Just like I do on high school only.
Is there a need to have that in health too? Would that like would that be beneficial to the curriculum or not need to do that in jail?
We still have time.
So then
I think like teachers, we don't have time to go and we spend a day on pregnancy.
So we would be like, to just approve it for child development.
I think I would recommend that as well to make it so we're not extending, we're spending a lot on like social emotional learning and not just human development.
Well, and what's nice about the approved list being very specific is it allows for Health 2's curriculum to kind of stand on its own, and that you're not using a video that, hey, we're going to watch this in human development, and then it's like, oh, we already saw that video last year. That becomes redundant. So it's kind of nice to separate them and just say, this is just human development.
And that's what we've been doing with Health 1 and Health 2. So then they don't go from her class then to my class. I'm like, oh, I've already seen this. Mm-hmm. So, even though it doesn't hurt to see the video again.
You know, sometimes they're good ones.
Like, or repeat something.
I would move to approve for child development.
And I'll second that. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. All right, the voting is unanimous. The motion is unanimous. All right, this next one. Oh, are we doing baby center?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to look through baby center and decide, do we want to let students access this website? Do we want it to be just for teachers? Do we want to remove all? How long should we take?
Do you hold those? Yeah.
This is the babycenter.com?
Yeah. And why a teacher might send students to this website is if they're like, okay, for an assignment, you are to, chart out the stages of labor or like pre-trimester stages of labor. Here's some resources for extra help if you need. And then they might list. So that's kind of an example of why they might want to be sent to a website.
And is this website, again, for child development or help?
Either. Yeah, we can distinguish that.
to talk too soon, but I felt like a lot of the pictures were great, like appropriate, and like on any topic as I went through, I've gone through it several times. So if you see any pictures that might concern, then bring those up.
It said on that one video, for the life, whole life, or go to babycenter.com or whatever.
Yeah.
But so I'm trying to see if that's really accessible for all the videos, but I have not seen them on there. I don't know. So that was really the only concern I had, is that there's a bunch of videos of live births. Yes, but I can't find them. So.
Would they just say, hey, here's a website to do some research? Is it kind of in that realm? Or how would they use the website?
I would say they'd use the website of like prenatal care. There's a section on prenatal care. So if they had to do an assignment on that. This could be a website that had some good information for prenatal care, along with like what to expect and a couple of others that we already have approved. Give them some options.
Or the development by trimester, maybe a way they could use it too. Like what developments happen during what trimester.
Or having an egg and sperm fertility donation party. So it's like celebrating the fact that the couples can seek alternate ways. That's not what I thought it was when I clicked into it.
But you learned something, didn't you?
Yeah, I know where it was.
Yeah, and it does have on here ways that, alternate ways for being able to have a family. Like if you're, you know, have fertility issues and things like that, they do have, I mean, they cover almost anything baby related on this website.
Including baby shower games.
Yes. Name, and baby name finder.
And the Chinese
finder.
Yep. That was one stop. Where was this 45 years ago?
Right.
I like the, how much does it cost to have a baby?
That's a good one. That's also a good
because that is pregnancy. Part
I was going to say
version.
Birth control.
The standards actually in health too, and in child development is like the cost of.
I mean, it looks like kind of like an online what to expect when you're
expecting.
Expecting.
Yeah. And if I click on some things, it says, "Oops, it's been moved." Did anyone else get that?
Maybe it's late, you should be clicking.
Right.
Yeah, well, I know.
I mean, it was like,
what did you click, Jim?
How to get pregnant. So I clicked it, and it...
Really?
Yeah.
I think I looked at that one.
Yeah, right, that's where I found that then.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that's where I found that then.
So maybe I'm just lost.
So our favorite home delivery video is on it, with the fettuccine.
Oh, yes. That was from there.
Well, I did a search for videos.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then the... Million. Yeah, they have, like, let's see. How does that work if we, like, don't approve that to be shown in the class, but then it's on the website that we approve?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's under, if you go to, like, pregnancy and then labor and delivery, there's a bunch of... That's the... Water birth.
Oh.
I've seen a lot of those show up on my social media feeds.
Whatever.
People sharing their stories.
That's true. People do share those.
Yeah, they have lots of... videos here. One thing that teachers do if they're saying, hey, here's like what a baby costs, they're not going to say go to babycenter.com and then search for what the baby costs. They're going to link you on the assignment, you know, where to go. But that doesn't mean, like, students can just go and click
click around.
Right.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, this could be concerning to parents. Pregnancy sets positions with illustrations. Mm-hmm. Sex during your pregnancy, your answer's question. Your aunt's questions answered. I mean, that could be concerning to parents. But like you say, if you link it, but it is, you know.
I think that's why I was asking the question. If it's kind of a free-for-all, here's a site, and then you can go down a rabbit hole on, you know, baby names or, you know, sexual positions, that might be problematic. But if they're saying very specific, like, I want you to look for the different trimesters and growth patterns of the fetus, that kind of thing, you know, then I think, and just like any website that we send kids to, because, I mean, you can, it's just always is best for them to know exactly where they're going, push them to exactly where you want to go, right. And then.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, just seeing the word sex, it's like, whoop, it's like,
I can't.
The right easiest there. Word, yeah, to see, right?
Would some of these get, none of the stuff that they would be sent at home would get caught by a filter that the parents have on. Like, if you send,
that's what I'm curious.
The filter at the school is more than I've had as, like, students at home.
That's true. So anything you would send them to, you could get to on campus, on the campus.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to have a student account and see if any of this would get,
I didn't get blocked, which I thought I would, but I have a different account.
Yeah, because I won't get blocked on certain things, but, yeah, students will get blocked on them.
But because the computer are using, because they're using, like, their school computer.
Their school Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, anything that...
which is fun.
Sex, reproductive, or, like, drugs, some of those things will be blocked on students. So I'll have to go and make sure when I'm sending them somewhere. And I've had a, you know... I think it's okay that they're going
there.
That they can get there, because on my side, I can get to a lot more information. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just send it to a web filter, mm-hmm. And then they can filter that, which I always have to do when it comes to drug stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they might filter approve it. So what we could see is, could they access this portion on their Chromebooks?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As if it were an in-class assignment. I mean, we can't really control what they do at home. But if it were an in-class assignment, it would be interesting to see.
But they could
if they're on
go
the
on their phones. Yeah. You know.
Nope. Do all kids now have a Chromebook they take home?
All the
so
high school students.
95% of the time they'd be doing this on their own Chromebook rather than anything at home.
Most of the time, yeah.
Which is they could access it on that one. Right?
I can check on my kids.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I have a kid in high school and a kid in junior high. So I can still look and see what shows and what does not show.
Mm-hmm. So. But we've, you know, in the past we haven't approved some websites because of the topic of sex that has been on it. Like Love is Respect, that's one that it's a teacher mm-hmm. resource but is not students. Mm-hmm. So
just to summarize, are you looking to see what kind of filters can put on? We can put
yeah, we'll
on
look
that.
To see the filter on that.
Okay.
See if that is.
Yeah, I mean the sex position graphics were a little graphic.
Because if it were a teacher resource, you could always copy and paste an article into a Google Doc and source it at the bottom and not necessarily let students come to it. You can't do the calculator. You could, in front of the class, mm-hmm. you could do that with the whole class.
Right.
But a lot of this, I think if it were approved for teachers, you could still get students that information.
Mm-hmm.
It just won't be... website.
And you can fragment shop.
Yeah.
And send them to just that portion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways to.
Because I love the pregnancy and then trimester and development of it. I think it's great.
It's pretty well sourced. I mean, some of the the medical advice is kind of legit. And just, I don't see any weird things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the website other than the diagnosis. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, that could be just
no, it is for sure,
right?
Yeah, it is.
But the other parts of this website, I think, are really good. And
yeah.
So,
yeah. But looking at it more for a teacher resource than for student access, is that what I'm hearing?
Unless we can filter those sex positions, yeah, I don't think we want to be sending it to a student sex. Because no. That will be one of the first words they see.
Yeah. And yep.
I mean, as adults, it's the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, Should we hold off until next month? Or do we want to approve it for a teacher resource and hold off for a student until we do some more research on that?
Well, I think we could motion approve if that's blocked for students but other parts aren't. Then I think...
Yeah, you probably go, okay,
then
to go
we're
ahead.
Good for this, and if it doesn't, then we'll be like, okay, this will be a teacher resource.
Yeah.
That we
okay.
Yeah. Fill.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've kind of got a lot of things on the table for the next few
months.
Yeah. Well, in child development, they cover so much.
Yeah.
They really do. So
that we needed to look at. That
so we won't be watching for us all the time.
Please come back.
There's only a couple strands. There's a bunch more.
But there are some teachers that, you know, they prefer other videos. Than other teachers, and I do want them to have their time in their classroom. Like, if they prefer that video, then yeah, we'll watch the videos, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the website babycenter.com for a teacher resource and student resource if the sex position is blocked for the students?
And it's not blocked, and we just approve for teacher use?
Yes.
Correct.
Do we have to repeat all of that?
No.
I motion to approve everything that Jessica said.
Do I have a second? Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. All right, the voting is unanimous. The motion has been approved. All right, you want to click on the teachers?
Yes. Sorry.
So this
before we go to, wait, is this one still on? Okay, go.
Yep.
Keep going. Sorry, I thought we were moving to the pornography one. So keep doing this one.
Okay. So this is actually mine to be approved. If you say no, it's okay. So if you scroll down, this is a lesson plan, but there are 10 reasons that teens choose abstinence. This was provided by a teacher who taught health for 16 years and surveyed the kids anonymously, and they wrote down the reasons. So it would just be these 10 reasons that are listed. Kids can write their own reasons or use some of these, and then they would be like in depth with statistics about them from other websites. But from this website, it is just these 10 reasons why teens choose abstinence.
This is my mother coming out, but in number 8, parents shouldn't have, that's plural, not possessive.
Uh-huh. Bless your mom for no.
I don't even know how I have it written on my slideshow.
Just take the apostrophe out.
Well, it says, disappointed.
Yeah, and disappointed
just,
is awesome. Yeah.
I think her graphic has them like correct. So then it has options of what they could do. But I'm just looking at those 10 reasons. I don't do any of those.
So I have a sexual pressures lesson.
I don't have a sexual lesson. I just use those 10 and they write down their own reasons, and then if they can't think of 10, there's a list.
So when shared, you just say this was surveyed by so many students at one specific area.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
and I have them guess, what do you guys think the top 10 reasons would be? And they may say, because this is my last one, so they've learned everything at this point. And I usually get the pregnancy one, the religious values, parents, they're not ready, and STDs, the other ones they don't usually guess. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. All right, the vote is unanimous.
So before we go on from Baby Center, last month we talked about, we saw those two videos, and I don't think we made a recommendation. I don't think we did a motion for those two, right? We kind of tabled. We did on the C-section, right? Okay, so the C-section was approved, but then we were going to find alternates for the other. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to keep that on our radar that we were going to find some alternates for the live birth that wasn't quite so skewed.
Back to that teacher, I sent a couple of recommendations to them and talked to that individual on the phone and showed that the beginning of the video, it says, this is healthier for my baby and for me to do this method, and that's like, you know, and she goes, oh, yeah. This teacher was like, yeah, I'm okay with finding something better.
Okay.
And so I sent her a couple I recommended and then told her other videos were going that other teachers had sent in, so I could send her the updated list and she could see if and just pull from that too.
Perfect. Okay. So. Just wanted to revisit that before we moved on.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. How long is the reproductive?
I think it's 5 minutes.
Okay, so we'll end on this one.
Yeah. Okay. Just double check. Okay, 6 minutes.
Welcome to the reproductive system. So let's start by asking, what is the reproductive system? It's basically a system in our bodies that includes our sex organs and certain parts of our brain. You can see the sex organs here on the male and here in two places on the female. So this system within our bodies allows us to reproduce. It allows us to make babies. And to make babies, what we're doing is combining genetic material from a biological mother's egg and a biological father's sperm to make our offspring. And we typically do this via sexual intercourse. So let's first take a brief look at a couple of the most important sex organs that males and females have in their reproductive systems. So the males have the testes, and these are the most important structures, sort of the structures that everything else is built around in a male. And that's because the testes actually produce his contribution to a baby. They make these small mobile cells that carry his genetic material into a female to fuse with her genetic material to cause a pregnancy. And these small mobile cells are his sperm. Another important male organ is the penis. And the penis is used to deliver his sperm inside the female mate to increase the chance that it meets her egg. So those are really the major male organs. Now on the female side, one of her major organs is the ovary. And she has two, just like how males have two testes. And in fact, the ovaries and testes are homologous. They came from the same precursor in development. Now, the ovary is responsible for producing the female's genetic contribution to a baby, that is, the egg. The ovaries, though, are a lot different to the testes in that the testes are constantly producing lots and lots of sperm, to the tune of millions per day, whereas the ovaries only release one egg per month. So the next really important female organ is called the uterus. And the uterus is basically a really thick, muscular organ that's capable of stretching out, and it's actually where the baby is developing during pregnancy until birth. The next really important female structure is the breasts. And the breasts are important because they produce milk during pregnancy and afterwards by a process called lactation. and lactation happens due to a series of hormones that generally get released around pregnancy. So this breast milk that gets produced can feed and nourish the growing baby, and it actually plays a role in creating a stronger immune system for the baby. So we've seen some of the major structures of both male and female reproductive systems. But is that all the reproductive systems are? Actually, no. Besides producing sperm and egg, the reproductive systems produce chemicals whose signals have a really strong influence over activities in our bodies. We call these chemicals hormones, and because they come from our reproductive systems, we refer to them as our sex hormones. For example, the male's major sex hormone, testosterone, which is actually produced in the testes, is responsible for many masculine traits, such as body hair, the deepening of your voice, muscle growth, and there's possibly even a link to levels of aggression in males. On the female side of things, the ovary is the primary producer of some major female hormones, like estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen and progesterone play a major role in the timing of egg release from the ovaries. Estrogen is also responsible for the development of a lot of feminine traits, for example, breast development. So there's the making of the sperm and the egg, there's the production of the major sex hormones. What else does the reproductive system do? Well, it does one more really important thing, and that's coordinate the meeting of the sperm and the egg. And it does that by the male's penis and the female's vagina. These two organs are used to ensure that the sperm and the egg meet each other. So the penis actually deposits sperm within the vagina so that sperm has a better chance of reaching and fertilizing the egg released inside her reproductive tract. So you might be thinking, does the reproductive system do all this stuff on its own? I mean, what tells it what to do? And that's a good question. The reproductive system is actually controlled by the brain. There's an area in the brain called the hypothalamus that sits just about there on the inside of the brain, just about in the middle. And the hypothalamus actually releases a hormone called gonadotropin-releasing hormone, or GnRH. GnRH affects another part of the brain called the anterior pituitary, which sits right about there, just under the hypothalamus. And the anterior pituitary, in response to GnRH, releases two hormones, luteinizing hormone, or LH, and follicle-stimulating hormone, or FSH. And it's the luteinizing hormone and the follicle-stimulating hormone that primarily affects the male and female sex organs, so the male's testes and the female's ovaries, to control their functions. Finally, a word on pregnancy, as pregnancy is a huge part of reproduction and certainly the most long-lasting part. So pregnancy results when a sperm successfully fertilizes an egg to create a zygote. A zygote is the first cell in a new organism that has genetic material from both mom and dad. And that genetic material has come from the sperm and the egg that it fused. The zygote goes through a series of developments and eventually implants itself within the inner wall of a woman's uterus to grow. So that's in here. Remember that thick muscular organ we talked about? The third step is what we'll really broadly call gestation. Gestation is basically the development of the fetus into a baby. So the development of all the fetus's organ systems, including their brain, spinal cord, lungs, cardiovascular system, their reproductive system, all the systems in their body. Gestation readies the developing infant to be born, and it takes about 9 months. When the baby's ready to come out of the uterus and into the world, a number of hormonal changes take place in the mother's body. This signals her to start getting ready to push the baby out of her body. In other words, give birth to the baby. She then goes through a process called labor, also known as parturition, to give birth to the baby. After the baby is born, the last step is to give him or her a name.
That's the hardest step.
Wait, Anza.
Any concerns about that video?
Yeah, I wish I had Khan Academy when I was going through school.
I even learned something in that video.
I'm like,
wow.
Is that
from,
it just helped you help one book?
This came from a human development teacher.
Human development.
Yeah.
Information. I vote to approve.
That's all right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. All right, the vote is unanimous. Motion is approved. Okay, our next meeting will be...
Just one last thing.
Oh.
And then I can not ever have this on there again.
Okay, let's do it.
The last thing is just, it's not under the consent form, but I think just because we do approve health and sex ed things, there was this new teacher guide that was worked on this summer, produced on how to teach harmful effects of pornography without shame approach. And so that you can see what we're giving to our teachers. It talks about like best practices for teaching these topics, like establishing a safe and non-judgmental environment, use neutral and objective language, such as like risky and dangerous instead of like bad and awful and gross, and kind of just help with the language of safe environment there. Talks about like what are the harmful effects of pornography, what we'll see in that, I guess in that lesson. We'll see like legal consequences, impact on the brain, unrealistic relationship expectations, confusing fact or fictions, dehumanizing relationship roles, sexual violence, impact on relationships, effects on body image, and where and how to get help. So we'll see those topics brought up. And then here was just like a guide of how to answer questions for teachers and frequently asked questions by students, and then how to answer those appropriately. I think this is usually where teachers spend the most time at. And yeah, so that was that document that was given to teachers at the beginning of this year. So
this was given?
That this document's available for to give to their, well, it was given to teachers on how to better teach those, the topic of harmful pornography.
So. This is a newer topic in our standards. This was added when they revised it.
They revised it in 2019. And this is under safety, so it's not even under any, like the sex ed curriculum. Right now that we should put pornography in the sex ed curriculum, but under safety and technology.
So
is
it FYI for us, or do we need to?
Nope, that didn't approve anything, just like because of, I just wanted to share this because of the topic, like more this is a more sensitive topic in health classes, so I just wanted to show it.
Resource
of
helping.
Have you shared this with all our
health
teachers?
Yeah.
Did they send it to us?
It's on that agenda I sent you. You can click on it. I can just send it if you want. I'll just send it directly to you. Yeah. I thought it was a great parenting tool too. So.
Okay. All right. Our next meeting will be November 1st, 2023. Having covered all the agenda items, do I have a motion to adjourn our committee meeting?
A motion to adjourn.
Second.
Send that to me.
Yeah.
If you send an invite for this first, will you do that again? The calendar invite, didn't you send that last time? Or did I just put that on the calendar?
I think everyone should have it for the entire year, like a calendar invite.
Maybe that's why I missed last time. I don't have my first.
I will go double check it and make sure everyone has it. The next one's going to be
November
1st. Oh, yeah, you said that. Yeah.
Are we all in favor of
it? Oh, sorry.
Thank you. All right, and you both say no? Okay. Voting unanimous, our committee meeting is now adjourned at 4:01 p.m.
The last one you emailed me and said you couldn't make it.
I know, I got
thanks
that
so
one.
Much.
I have one today.
Thank you.
But I don't know if I don't have the one the 6th either, like September 6th.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I will double check that. And I thought I said it up, but I did lots of things wrong.
I'll check too, because sometimes I...
No, I...
Maybe different, but I...
Well, let me see if it's on my calendar even.
I like to just be surprised every time we get an email. Oh, Good job. Thank you. Really good. You sound very professional.
Thank you guys.
I love telling people that I'm the president of the board of a sex company.
And I can lead it professionally. Good job.
Yes, so much. Yep.
If it's there, I can.
Yep, I'll actually check all that right now.
Thank you.
You doing good?
Yeah. It's, yeah.